Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited to have our viewers on the Gulf Coast with the Christian Television Network. Welcome, and we're just honored to have you folks just invite us into your homes and have this conversation with you. Of course, we want to give a shout out to all of our friends across the nation and the world. Thank you for tuning in and joining with us today. Here to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello.
Say good that day, five sir. Times. Good day.
Hello,
good
sir.
Day. My goodness, we're two programs back to back. If you have not had a chance to catch any of our previous programs, you definitely want to listen to the updates as we've been sharing about Israel. The importance of what is happening and what we can do to stay and stand with mm-hmm. them during their time of need. It's nothing like being able to share some truth on a situation Amen. That's been so murky by the media and cloudy. And it's like, don't be confused. This is very easy. This is very easy to see and very easy to understand. Bad guys hate Israel mm-hmm. and they're doing bad things.
Yeah.
And any responsible citizen says, knock it off. And if you continue to misbehave and terrorize our people, we're going to go in there and help you out. You know what I mean? There's no different than what you wouldn't do mm-hmm. if the people across the street were throwing firecrackers and rockets into your children's bedroom windows.
Yeah,
you'd say, you better stop that. Or we're going to take care of that. Or snatch.
Have a problem.
Yeah, we're going to walk across the street.
Yeah.
And occupy your front lawn and then take away all of your little rockets and your underground networks into our home. That's all.
Prime Minister Netanyahu said it best. He said, simple clarity should not be lost.
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to. It's just simple clarity.
Yeah. Yeah. And their goal is, you know, whatever's necessary mm-hmm. to bring a sustainable peace into the area. And that's, you know, everyone should have a right to peace and not continual conflict and terror and torment. So you don't want to miss that. In today's program, we're going to be talking about, you know, several things. But one of the things that's very important right now that we're facing is the persecution that's happening, of course, Jews and Christians. I mean, this is something we have talked about extensively. These are things that have happened since the time of Nero and, you know, in the book of Acts, we've mm-hmm. seen this, okay? However, in recent times and in recent days, we're seeing an increase of this persecution. And listen, Matthew 24, it's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the times. There's going to be a great falling away. And we want to shed some light on some things that are happening with Christians in Iraq that are being persecuted, Christians in Sudan, which, according to Open Doors Ministry, is a ministry that basically is geared around, you know, one of their main objectives is to protect and to shed light on the mm-hmm. persecuted church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sudan is one of the countries that's really high. I think it's a number two country. Number one is North Korea. Number two is Sudan. And that's where, if you remember, Miriam Ibrahim is from. She was from Sudan. Mm-hmm. And she was the woman who was arrested and was chained and gave birth to a child in prison. She has since been released. Praise God. I thank him for all of our prayers and everyone that's joined together. She was in Italy, and now she is back in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I saw an article that came across that said the U.S. was nowhere to be seen in this whole process of getting her out. I mean, they had no Italy. It's like, what is she doing in Italy? I mean,
right.
We should have had a plane, because her husband is an American citizen. She should have been immediately here. And we still have Sergeant Andrew
Tamarisi.
I don't know what day this is, but it's over 100 days that mm-hmm. he is still mm-hmm. in prison in a Mexican prison. And he's a Marine.
Just for getting lost.
Yeah, got lost.
Right next door. Right next door to America. And he's still there.
Still there. And you think about it. I mean, if we don't have, mm-hmm. you know, the juice, if you will, if we don't have the power, the influence to pick up the phone and call Mexico. I mean, I think we got a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we got a serious problem.
We can't pick up the phone and say Mexico and say, hand them over now.
Now.
Now. We have a serious problem. What kind of influence, which is really embarrassing at this point, like what John Kerry was not invited, according to Times of Israel, was not invited to go broker anything in Israel. If we can't even get a Marine, mm-hmm. a Marine who got lost in Mexico, we can't get a Marine out in prison. What are we doing anywhere else trying to, come on, we got to get things back to basics and things back on the right track. But we're going to be talking about the persecuted church, persecuted Jews. We're going to be sharing about how we're coming to the end of Ramadan. It's a holy month, if you will, for Muslims around the world, where they take some time to fast. However, something interesting happens, and it's been happening during this time period. Many, many Muslims are finding Jesus Christ during this period.
Wow.
It's wonderful, and it's exciting. And we want to see many Muslims come to the Lord. Listen, there's 1.2 billion Muslims in the world today, and why not them all find Jesus? You know, you can have a perspective and think that they're all jihadists, and they're not. According to Bridget Gabriel, 15 to 20% of Muslims are radicalized. That's 300 million, the size of America, the population of America. But that means that there's 800 million Muslims that don't know anything about Jesus and are probably could be open to knowing about him. If they're mm-hmm. willing to do all of that for so-called, you know, their Allah, imagine what they would do when they encounter love himself. And we have a special testimony from Kamal, and you can hear how a terrorist mm-hmm. trained up as a boy from his mother, sitting on his mother's lap, came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You really don't want to miss it. It's going to be very, very exciting. We are going to talk about that. We're also going to be talking about, you know, the importance of understanding what it means to be a Christian in theory or a Christian in reality. Mm. There is a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Christian in theory and Christian in reality. And I think a lot of folks are, that we're seeing today in culture, a virtual Christian, if you will. But Jesus didn't die for us to be virtual Christians. He died for us to be one in reality. And Christian means Christ-like, to be walking mm-hmm. united with him. So we're going to kind of unpack that and talk about that some more. Really interesting things. And we're also going to talk about the power of technology to submit to you and you not to technology. And how, if we really understand what God's called us to do, we can use it to do some incredibly mm-hmm. awesome things, to share the gospel and bring people to the Lord. But we want to talk about persecution. And right now, in terms of what's happening to the Jews, when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how they're leaving France now by the droves. Wow. They're leaving France by the, you don't want to miss it mm-hmm. because you're seeing an exodus in many countries where Jews now are being persecuted on a daily basis. They're fearful for their lives. And we're going to see what's happening with them and what's happening to Christians as well. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Date night on a dime. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. When you're scheduling that next date with your spouse, Jill Savage says your goal should be connection, not spending a lot.
You know, it doesn't have to cost money. It just means that you are intentionally spending time together, just the two of you. We love to go to a local bookstore, and we have an old house that we live in, a 100-year-old farmhouse, and we're always renovating something. And so we look at old house books together, and we dream and laugh and kind of say, oh, that would be a great idea to do in our house. And then we close the book, put it back on the shelf, and go back home. And we've had a date, and it hasn't cost us an arm and a leg.
Meaningful, inexpensive dates. Something Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife Erin have written about in their book, Take the Date Night Challenge, 52 Creative Ideas to Make Your Marriage Fun. You can find it and more trusted relationship advice at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We wanted to talk about persecution that's happening with Jews and with Christians. JJ, we're going to make sure that that's related for you, but we talked extensively in a previous segment about how JJ, the Jews and Jesus, Jews and Christians, are facing persecution in an increasing measure. And as a believer, as a Christian, it's important. Mm-hmm. It's important that we stand with our Jewish brothers and sisters. I mean, if we want somebody to stand with us, you know, we better stand with them now mm-hmm. so that someone can stand with us later, and that we're seeing firsthand right in front of us what it looks like. And we've been pretty blessed in the West that we haven't had to suffer to the extent that many believers and Jews have suffered in the East and around the world. But we want you to see this segment from CBN as they shared how there's a exodus from France, and the Jews are leaving France in droves, going back home to Israel. Watch this.
In the suburbs of Paris, a Jewish family gathers to read the Torah. Soon, they will be gone. They're part of a growing number of French Jews who are leaving France because the future simply looks too dangerous. Before World War II, European Jews waited too long to leave, and then they were trapped. French Jews don't want to make the same mistake again. In January, demonstrators in Paris shouted, "We don't want Jews," and gave the Nazi salute. It was a chilling reminder of France's World War II past, when Jews were deported to concentration camps. This family agreed to be interviewed only if their identities were hidden, because they fear a backlash from French society. In a few months, they'll leave for Israel. They told us they wanted to go when they could leave on their terms, instead of someday having to flee for their lives.
We're not really afraid, but seeing the murders last year in Toulouse and what happened at the Jewish Museum in Brussels, we're afraid for our children and what could happen to them, and think about it every day.
The mother in this Jewish family has already been called a dirty Jew by the neighbors. She's instructed her daughter how to slip her Star of David inside her blouse when she goes outside, and has told her sons to be careful about when they wear their kippahs.
They have worn the kippah since they were very young, but over the past few years, I have told them maybe it's better not to wear it sometimes.
There is a strong feeling inside the French Jewish community that it's time to leave.
Philippe Carcenti is deputy mayor in the city of Neuilly and a Jew.
You can't have a dinner, a conversation with a Jew without having this topic mentioned. Shall we stay or shall we leave?
There are only about 400,000 Jews in France, and they're outnumbered by Arabs and Muslims by perhaps 15 to 1 or more. And that gap is growing every day. There have been close to 8,000 anti-Semitic incidents in France since 2000. And every time Israel acts in self-defense against the Palestinians, the danger increases. France's Arab and Muslim citizens have staged large and more violent demonstrations, including one in which 200 Jews were trapped inside a synagogue. At a synagogue near Paris, Rabbi Michael Azoulay says the number of Jews coming to him for a certificate of Jewishness in order to go to Israel has gone way up in the past year.
It started around last July. We have had many requests from families, not just from our community, but from other communities in Paris. People who came to us and requested certificates for the Jewish agency in the hope of possibly going to Israel.
It's estimated that as many as 5,000 Jews could leave France this year. The exodus of the Jews is a disaster for the French government, which keeps condemning the anti-Semitic attacks, but cannot stop them.
Let me just emphasize, we do not live in an anti-Semitic country.
Dr. Richard Praskir is past president of CRIF, France's National Association of Jews.
I do not accept the fact that France is an anti-Semitic country. France is not an anti-Semitic country. This government, the previous government, have absolutely no anti-Semitic ideas.
The French government is doing what it can, but it's difficult to do more because the problem is so overwhelming. The government cannot prevent every attack.
Jews do blame the French media for the rise in anti-Semitism because of the way it attacks Israel on a daily basis.
The media have been inciting against Israel and the Jews for more than a decade.
We are fed up with the image of Israel that is continuously repeating itself.
When you watch TV, when you listen to the radio, or when you read newspapers, you always feel hate message against Israel.
Not all French Jews are in danger, and not all Jews who are leaving France are doing it because of anti-Semitism. Some are leaving because of the bad economy. But 3 out of 4 say they're thinking about leaving, and 95% are worried about anti-Semitism.
Actually, we're concerned now that the government will not be able to set things right to stop the attacks, and that worries me.
French Jews now face a perfect storm. With a war in Gaza, growing numbers of French Muslims, and the growing popularity of the far-right National Front.
Jews are being insulted and threatened, not only by Muslims, but also by members of the far-right and by leftists who hate Israel.
This family is looking forward to their new life in Israel without persecution.
We will be able to breathe freely in Israel, and I will be happy to see my children live more freely as Jews there.
French leaders know that when Jews have to leave, it means the nation is sick.
Jews are a litmus test of what's going on. It's not only Jews who will leave the country. It's not only France who will go down the drain. It's not only Europe. It's the entire Western world, including the United States.
Dale Hurd, CBN News, Paris.
Amazing. Isn't it important to see this? This is what happens is that when you know, the news continues to project what's happening in this conflict, you know, Operation Protective Edge, and they keep saying that it's Israel's fault. The Jews there in Israel are not the only ones that are just being attacked or persecuted, but all the Jews all around the world are being attacked.
Yeah.
You know, in Brooklyn, New York, there's a big Jewish community. And they themselves there were concerned for their own lives. But it's happening now. Now you have the Jews in France that are saying, we got to get out of here. This is not good. And the government can do nothing to protect us. Mm-hmm. And Europe is becoming more and more an Islamic, you know, region, if you will, because there's so many of them are migrating there to Europe. In fact, Angela Merkel, who's the Chancellor of Germany, she said it several years ago. She said, in 20 years, Germany will be an Islamic, you know, state. It'll be a Muslim-filled country.
Through immigration.
Mm-hmm. And so this is important to recognize that, hey, this is a serious, serious issue. When 74% of French Jews are mulling, should we be leaving? This is a clue. This is a clue. And we have to say, hey, this is not right. This is not good. We had to begin to start having empathy. And one of the reasons they're leaving now is because during the time of Hitler's, you know, diabolical mm-hmm. reign and persecution of them, many of them waited too long mm-hmm. to leave. And when Greg and I were in the Holocaust Museum in Manhattan, we had a chance to see a lot of things. But one of the things that we saw was exactly that the Jews were contemplating leaving their comfort and their convenience, and they didn't want to leave it, and so they just waited and waited. And you often hear on this program that if you wait, you'll be bait. Right. You can't wait. You can't wait. You have to move in the season mm-hmm. that there is to move. You got to jump upon it and make that decision. I'm glad those that are thinking about it are doing that, because Israel needs help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's so significant too when you see that, how the whole, the majority, well, I don't want to say majority, but a lot of the Jewish people in France, they're seeing that just like what the leader said, that continual repetition conversation by the media. And it's just like when you continue to hear that same perspective against Israel, it's just like you stand up and just say, where's an Israel perspective? Mm-hmm. Where's an Israel perspective? Where's that light perspective? Yeah. And that is like what that is what our goal is, to bring that other side. Like, what's Israel's side of this?
Right.
And it gives you that encouragement to just say, okay, I know all this is being shared over and over and over again. But then when you hear that other side and you're like, oh, wow, gives you a little bit more of that encouragement to
sure.
just what's
sure.
going on.
Remember that it's JJ, the Saturday people and the Sunday people.
Mm-hmm.
We have right now news telecasts are reporting that several hundred people gathered in front of the White House chanting, Obama, Obama, where are you? Iraqi Christians call for you. And what they're saying, that these demonstrations have been held in a number of cities over the weekend, in Washington, in Paris, in Cologne, in London, in order to bring attention to the current assault on Christians by IS now, not ISIS, IS, the Islamic State, formerly known as ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, hey, what's going on? Christians in Iraq are being slaughtered. They're being pushed out of Mosul. They're mm-hmm. burning down church buildings,
mm-hmm.
and they want them completely out. They're giving them three choices. The Islamic Islamic State, they're saying, listen, you can either convert to Islam, you can either pay a jizya tax, which is servitude,
mm-hmm.
It's like 20-30% of their income, and the third is basically die. We'll cut your head off. So you have one of three choices, which are none of them mm-hmm. are good choices, none of them. And so not to convert and not to bow down and not to submit to them means that they're going to pay a heavy, heavy price. And right now, during in Sudan, the Christian Post is reporting that during Ramadan, during a time of that Muslims are fasting,
mm-hmm.
a Christian was basically, sentenced to having his lips burned with a cigarette because he was actually eating during Ramadan.
Mm.
And he's not even supposed to be fasting. He's like, this is like, that's a Muslim thing that they're doing.
All right.
But because of that, his lips were burned. His lips were burned.
Wow.
Mm.
This is the stuff that you're seeing over and over and over again. And not to make light of that, but Christians are being crucified. I mean,
literally.
Crucified. I mean, the burn part is one thing, but it's another thing to be crucified, literally, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
And you can turn a deaf ear, you can try to close your eyes, you can try to be not informed, but God's watching. He's mm-hmm. watching what is our response. And whatever we've done or didn't do to the least of these brothers of mine, of his, we haven't done to him, meaning that if we close our eyes to the persecution of Jews, if we close our eyes to the persecution of Christians,
mm-hmm.
then we're closing the eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
We're not paying any attention to him. We're not empathizing. We're not praying.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing anything we can do to stop it.
Yeah, that's huge, because it says, the Bible says specifically in these last days that the love of the body is going to grow cold. And in a recent segment we had, where we shared about leaders that were in discussion in the church talking about what is happening, and they're saying the only reason why your heart would not be softened is if you turn your head away from this. And you've got to see this. You have to embrace this. You have to see this, because just like you're saying, this is going on right now. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is saying, there I was being crucified, being persecuted, and you did nothing, or you did something. And by seeing this, it's going to give compassion to you. It's going to minister to you, or it's going to soften your heart, because these travesties are happening.
Yeah. Well, the good that comes out of this, you know, because no trial is ever wasted in God, mm-hmm. is that people become very secure in their faith. They mm-hmm. see Jesus perform miracles. They mm-hmm. see Jesus rescue them. I mean, they see lions get lockjawed and have no teeth. They see mm-hmm. the fourth man in the fire, and God will vindicate them. Mm-hmm. God will miraculously take them out of prisons like he took Peter out of prisons. Mm-hmm. They will see the supernatural in their life in a greater dimension when they just trust Jesus in the face of it, when they don't shrink back and destroy it. When we get back from this break, we're actually going to talk about what's happening now with Christians, and a symbol that was used for the Jews is being used by Christians in solidarity to remember our brothers and sisters. And we're going to show it to you so that you can have it as well, so we can all stand together mm-hmm. during this season and during this time. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now, because it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore. Somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore. And they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions. Mm. Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this. Mm-hmm. They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right.
and I stepped to the VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barner writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God. Mm-hmm. Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God. Mm-hmm. you stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects. That's you right. are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. If you haven't yet gone to the front of vfntv.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says, visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country and Israel, I'm going to go to vfntv.com. And I'm going to say, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to vfntv.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we want to jump right into this. Gary Lane from CBN, he's a reporter, and he put together this article that we want to share with you. It's called Christians Marked for Modern Day Holocaust, and he writes about how his father, who was a World War II veteran, often told him that history has a strange way of repeating itself, and that 70 years after the Nazis forced the Jews to wear the yellow star of David, there were these patches that you'll see in you know, historical videos that show you during this time. There were these yellow patches on their clothing, and it was designed to mark them for persecution and extermination. That was why they had to wear these yellow star of David. Well, the same thing is underway right now. I mean, Christians are being attacked in the Middle East. In particular, right now, we're seeing what's happening in Iraq. We just talked about it more so by the group formerly known as ISIS. They're basically running every Christian out and making them, you know, convert and do all these different things. And so now, as a way to have solidarity, many Christians are taking the same symbol. We have it for you, but it's the yellow star of David, and they're taking the same symbol and they are putting it on their Facebook. They're sending it out in Twitter. They're hashtagging We Are In. N, the letter N, so hashtag we, the word R, and the letter N, and they are as a symbol for what's happening to the Christians in Iraq right now and the persecution. They're saying, hey, we're together. You can mark, you're marking them, you mark us. We're going to stand together with our brothers and sisters, and really that's what we need to be. The church, the family of God, we need to stand as one body with one heart, with one soul, with one mind, in unity. And say, hey, if they're persecuting my brother, they're persecuting me. If they're persecuting my brother, they're persecuting Jesus, and they're persecuting me. I'm going to stand with them, even if it costs me something, even if it costs me pain, even if it costs me resources, even if it causes me my respect or reputation or any of those things that people try to fight and hold on to. If it costs me, that doesn't matter. History's going to say of me that during this time of testing, this time of trial, I didn't turn my back on my brothers and sisters that were suffering, but I stood up in my business. I stood up at my job. I stood up at my school. I stood up in my community. I stood up on my sports team, and I did not join in any of those sick jokes and make light or come against the people of God or the issue of God, but I stood out and said, no, I will not participate in that, and I believe that I needed to stand with them. Listen, when we have that type of a backbone, when we have that type of unity in the church, we're going to see so many miracles and see an outpouring of just love and appreciation for each other. This is what Jesus prayed for in John 17, that the church may be one. Maybe, just maybe, under persecution, this may be the start of that unifying effort that brings us together. And I believe, you know, God's presence and his love is stronger to bring us together. But if it has to start in persecution, then by all means, let's come together. Mm-hmm. Let's stick, stay, and stand, even when it stinks. And let's wrap our arms around our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted and say, I'm going to pray. Don't let a day go by without praying for them. God can turn this whole situation around. But I believe this is going to be some days of some serious miracles because God is going to vindicate his people. He's going to protect them from all the evil that's taking place right now. Look at Israel as a perfect example. I mean, with every single enemy wrapped around them, Pat, they are still standing strong, still standing blessed, and still the promise to Jacob, the blessing to Jacob is still happening. He says, you're going to bless the entire world. Lineages are going to be blessed from you. And Jacob is still blessing us. So we want to definitely encourage you with that. We have a testimony for you from Kamal Salim. This is a former Muslim. Mm-hmm. We're in the end of Ramadan. It ends now. And this is a period of time where many Muslims find Jesus Christ as they're fasting. They find him as their Lord and Savior. And we want to share with you this personal testimony of a young man who was raised to be a terrorist, a social terrorist, and wanted to bring change. Came to America to do this. Taught from a young boy from his mother. But something very interesting and beautifully happened to him. We want you to hear it for yourself. Watch this.
48% of the Muslim in the United States of America believe that they are Muslim first, they're American second. Our purpose is to change this culture because they're infidel and what they're doing is not pleasing to Allah. And we are the soldier of Allah who will make them do it.
Kamal Salim was born in Lebanon to a devout Muslim family. As early as 4 years old, he remembers sitting at the kitchen table while his mother taught him about the Quran and his duty to Allah and jihad.
From my childhood, my mom said, one day you'll be a martyr, my son. You will die for the sake of Allah and you will exalt Islam. She said, if you kill a Jew, my son, your hand will light up before the throne of Allah and the host of heaven will celebrate what you have done.
Kamal was 7 when his parents sent him to Muslim training camps to learn to use weapons and engage and kill the enemy. The boys were also taught another, more subtle form of warfare.
We were training for what's called culture jihad, which is shifting cultures. Culture jihad is, it's unlike the sword, unlike the rifle, it is the jihad that will come into your world.
By his 20s, Kamal was chosen to wage cultural jihad on America.
In Islam, liberty, freedom, monarchy, all these are idols and these must be brought down. So the liberty that you have in the United States of America, it's anti-Islam, you know, so America must be changed. So I moved to the Bible Belt specifically. The Bible Belt was the strongest of strongest. That's where the stout Christians are. And I want to take on the best of the best because I considered myself as a sword of Islam. I thought I'm anointed, I'm unique, I'm selected. I'm coming to a country and a culture to change it, and I have the power of Allah with me.
In the early 1980s, Kamal entrenched himself in a small Midwestern town. He began targeting men from poorer neighborhoods to recruit them to the Muslim faith. But one afternoon, his life would be in the hands of those he hated the most.
I was going from one place to another to do a recruitment, and that day I had a car wreck.
The car wreck was so severe, I ejected out of my car, landed on my neck, broke my neck in two places. This man came running to me, and he said, "Don't worry, we're gonna take care of you, and everything's gonna be all right." The ambulance came and picked me up, and now I go to the hospital. The orthopedic surgeon in the emergency room looked at my chart, and he just said, "Son, we are going to take care of you, and everything's gonna be all right." The second day, I wake up in the hospital, and this head of physical therapy, came and read my chart, and he turned around and he said the same thing, word for word, "We are going to take care of you."
At first, Kamal was frightened by their words, because these men were all Christians.
You see, in terrorism, if they said, "We're going to take care of you," you'd better run.
Surgeries to repair Kamal's broken neck were successful, but recovery would take weeks. After being discharged from the hospital, he would need someone to care for him while he recuperated. Kamal had no one. So the orthopedic surgeon opened up his own home to this stranger.
In his home, they put me in the choicest room, in the most beautiful thing. I became like part of their family. They didn't see me any different. And now they have a basket set for Kamal. They put in money to free my bills from the hospital.
Kamal was overwhelmed with the outpouring of Christian love. As he recovered, he began to help out around the house with cooking and cleaning.
They have Jewish friends, they came from Israel, that they support, you know. And now I'm hugging Israelis and I'm cooking for Jews. I'm going, what has happened to me?
When Kamal was able to take care of himself and return to his apartment, the doctor had another surprise for him.
He said, "This is the keys to the house, and here's an extra key. This is your new car. We just want to bless you. You can come anytime you want." So I go to my home, and I go to my cold place that I haven't been there in months, and dust is this thick. And I just gotta settle this issue with my God to know that if it's real or not. So I walk inside, I shut the door, I go right in the eastern window, and I fall on my knees, and I put my hands to the heavens, and I cry up to my God, "Allah, Allah, my Lord and my King, why have you done such a thing to me? I'm okay with the car wreck. I'm okay with all this, but why did you put me among Christians? I'm confused. These Christians and Jews, they're good people. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't want to kill us. They're not the same thing that I learned about them. Allah, these people have relationship with their God. These people, they cry out to the God and they answer them. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you love me. If you're real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice." Guess what Allah said that day? Absolutely nothing.
Kamal felt that because he questioned his faith, the honorable thing to do was to end his own life.
So I went to reach out my guns and put it in the right place and clock out. I heard the voice. The voice knew me by name. He said, "Kamal, Kamal, Kamal, why don't you call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob?" And now I fell on my knees and I put my hands to the heavens immediately as I heard the voice, and I cried out with every fiber within me, "God the Father Abraham, if you are real, would you speak to me? God the Father Abraham, if you are real, I want to know you." Well, God the Father Abraham came to the room, and he filled the room with his glory, and his name was Yahweh, the Lord is one. In his hand, he has holes in his hand. He has holes in his feet. His name is Jesus. I said to him, "Who are you, my Lord? Who are you?" He said, "I am that I am." I said, "I'm a simple man with a simple mind. What is that supposed to mean?" He said, "I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am everything that is in between. I have known you before I formed the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb. Rise up. Rise up, Kamal. Come. You are my warrior. You are not their warrior." And I said to him, I said, my Lord, I will live and die for you." He said, "Do not die for me. I died for you that you may live."
That day, instead of taking his life, Kamal gave it to Jesus. He now has a new mission and travels the country challenging Muslims to question their allegiance to Allah.
My heart desire is to reach out for my brothers and sisters, the Muslim out there, 1.5 billion Muslim, that they are living out there and they have not tasted freedom and that freedom in God.
It's been over 20 years since Kamal left the Islamic faith, and even threats of violence and death cannot stop him from sharing his story.
He is real, you know, and if you never experienced God before in your life, if you never tasted God, and if you think you got nothing to lose, when you're sitting in your home, whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim or a non-Christian or whatever you are, say, call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and say, if you are real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice.
Absolutely awesome.
Wow.
We rejoice for Kamal.
Amen.
We want to talk directly to you. If you are a Muslim today, whether you live in the United States or in a Middle Eastern country, we want to encourage you that Jesus loves you. Every Muslim needs to know that Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life, and that you can do the same thing that Kamal did. Kamal asked God the question. He needed to know. He needed to have answers.
Mm-hmm.
Every good Muslim, you know, Dr. Ergun Kenner tells us that you can't respect Jesus because Jesus calls him the Son of God. He's God. You can only honor him with your life. That's all you can do. You can honor him with your life. We want to encourage you today to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He loves you. He has a plan for your life, and he wants to rescue you. You don't need to, you know, die for God. There is a God that's already died for you, and he's cleansed you of all of your sins. Give your life today to Jesus, and he'll change you forever. Do what we did. You know, you can find more of our stories at meetmyfather.org and find out how others came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can do the same, just like Kamal, and give your life to the Lord.
Plan for you.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Yeah. Hello. I don't know where that came from.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
We were just talking in the break time about Pat and his sleep deprivation and John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
He only got 9 hours sleep last night.
Yeah. Only nine. Yeah, right.
Just sleep a little bit more, man.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That's like 2 days worth of sleep.
Well, so Pat and I were in Washington, D.C.
Oh, please do tell.
We were in Washington, D.C., and he looks strong. All I got to do is keep him up all night. I mean, he'll be over.
Yeah, much.
But it's so much. It's a facade.
Yes.
And so we're staying at this particular guy's house for staying in the gap, actually.
Yeah.
And he had this deep passion for God, you know, knowing him as father's heart. And and so he's talking to us, and we've been all day long to the mall and just zoos and whatever else in Washington. And so I'm listening to this guy. I'm just like on the edge of my seat, right? And Pat's kind of sitting here to the back side of me, and they had pizza, and he was sitting on the edge of the table, and he's whispering. He's saying,
"The guy is."
Yeah. <Panic's> hand squad. And so the guy's going, "It's the Father's heart." Right?
It's so, Pat?
It's like, no. I'll show you Pat in a moment. So I'm leaning forward. I'm like, this guy's got it. It's the Father's heart. It's the Father's heart. So I'm so intense and intrigued. I'm thinking, this guy's got it. And I look back at Pat, and Pat's like, His face was hanging down. He was chewing on a piece of pizza. I'm looking like, you ain't even listening. It's the Father's heart. And I found out why he was whispering, because he didn't want to wake up Jezebel. He was actually held captive.
Down in the basement.
He was dead. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But we had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Steve, talk to us. I know you want to share with us about technology and the power of it, what we can do with it.
Yeah. You know, I've just been really encouraged just looking at, you know, so quickly we can look at technology and finally get so drawn into it and feel that, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, got to do this, and feel that, you know, we submit to technology, or all of a sudden when our phone goes down, we're just limited. But the powerful thing is, though, is that there are things that God allows to just be created, and it's just like, what can we do to advance what God wants us to do? And we've talked about many times in the program that God loves you and he's got a plan for your life. And he's called us to be witnesses. He's called us to just share about who Jesus is. And the powerful thing is, though, in my workplace, I meet a lot of people who don't necessarily speak English. Mm. And I've just been praying about it and just praying about it. And I've just been like, how do I communicate? And many times before, I'll call out on somebody that speaks that language.
Right.
And only recently, I came across, there's actually an app. It's called Google Translate. And if you're not familiar with it, it's basically you can, you know, choose your language. You can speak into it as you hit record and hit play. And then you can choose the language that it'll play. Mm-hmm. So it's basically you got a translator on your phone speaking another language. And it's amazing. So one of the late nights I was working at.
Remember, I don't know if you remember this. There was a time that you used to buy the little Franklin thing all by itself. It was over like a couple $100. And if you traveled to the country, you had to take this big old giant thing with you and type in this keyboard. And it didn't even speak back. Now you don't even have to pay 99 cents. It's free.
Absolutely.
Technology is amazing.
And that's the powerful thing is, at first when somebody was telling me about it, I was like, man, I have to download English and Spanish and Russian, and one of my coworkers next to me, she's like, no, it's just all in the same app, and you can just choose your languages. I was like, wow, didn't even realize it was there. But I had come across one late night, and I was working, and there were these three young ladies that basically had missed their flight, and through basically talking, I was realizing, okay, are you looking for a hotel? Like, what are you looking for?
Right.
And I was like, well, let me go grab my phone. And they didn't know what that meant. So I went and grabbed my phone, and I said something into Google Translate, and they just started talking back because I think they had seen it before. And I was like, that was amazing. But long story short, what had turned out was the fact that they were just looking for their bags. And they had, it was basically like 12 o'clock at night, midnight, and they were trying to get on that 6 a.m. flight in the morning. So they were needing to sleep in the airport overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole story that I found out was she was asking if she could sleep on this chair. That was her question of all this. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And my heart was just so broke at that moment. I was like, oh, my goodness. There is a section on the other side of the airport where there's couches and there's comfortable seating. Now, mind you, all of this is back and forth through Google Translate.
Wow.
So what I just told you in 5 minutes took about half an hour. So that is the...
I just need to go to sleep.
Yeah, is the extreme condensed version. Exactly. And there's three ladies who do not speak any English. And if you can imagine going a day with two days without sleep, how patient... No, that's not what I said. No, that's not what I said. Turns out that they were just looking for a place to sleep. And as I'm talking back and forward, and I'm just like, oh, no. And I lead them, and I point. And as I'm saying this, I'm like over there, and I'm trying to keep eye contact with them. And they were so blessed. And I looked back at them, and I says, do you have a pillow or a blanket or anything? And she says, no. Again, all through Google Translate. And I says, well, I will meet you over there. You'll see. Go walk down the hallway, and you'll see the couches. And all these ladies, and all of a sudden, and I had been talking to one lady who's basically a spokesman for the group, and they start gathering all their luggage, and all of a sudden, one other lady,
she looks, she starts pointing at my phone. She says, can I use? I says, yeah. And I switch over and I switch it back to Spanish. And she says something in Spanish. And then I go to play it. And she says, you are an angel of God. Mm-hmm. And it so blessed my heart. And I told back to her. And after saying it back in Spanish, I says, you know, you're not seeing me. I said, this is Jesucristo. And I said, this is Jesus. And it was such a powerful encounter. And I had spoken to another representative who was with a different airline. And I had asked him, I said, you know, there's these young ladies. They're going to be sleeping overnight. Do you guys happen to have a couple blankets and a couple pillows? So they go back in their back area. It took about 10, 15 minutes. And he goes and grabs a couple pillows and blankets. And he had no idea what the situation was. And he comes back. Mm-hmm. And I give it to these three ladies. And I took a picture of this moment that so captured it, that so reminded me of what God was doing, because it's so caught to me. It was just like God has given us the technology that we have, but we have the opportunity to use it to minister to so many other people. Don't let languages, you know, be a barrier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I was able to just speak to her and just remind her of just like, and I even told her, I says, you know, what you said so blessed me. I said, because this is Jesus in this moment doing this. And the whole thing, like I said, this has taken probably over an hour at, you know,
wow,
12:30 at night. But then even what was more powerful is just like, you know, God just continued to move was, you know, one of my coworkers where I work at, she's a practicing Muslim. And I had actually just, you know, there's a VFN TV app, which we've talked about many times before. And as I was waiting for that specific person to come back with the pillows, previously I had been ministering to this girl, witnessing for weeks, months at a time. Mm-hmm. And we had been talking and there was a video that we recently played, like you're talking about, mm-hmm. Ergen Canner and his testimony. And the powerful quote in that video, and we'll make it related to this, is he says, I don't have to strap a bomb to my chest because Jesus strapped himself to the cross for me. Mm. Mm-hmm. And the whole powerful thing is, though, is that while she's able to watch this video about who Jesus is, God is using another situation to speak to another people in a different language. And it was just like at one moment I just looked and it's just like seeing how God was reaching the nations because of the technologies that he's given us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, though, is the fact that when you look at what God's given us, and it's just like, how are you using that for his kingdom? How are you using that for his glory? And it just really blew me away. And it's just like what they did 100 years ago on horseback, what they did 200 years ago, 300 years ago with a printing press. We have an app that can reach nations in a day.
Yeah. You know, as I hear you saying that, Steve, what I'm getting out of this whole encounter is, we have no excuse.
Yeah.
We have no excuse. We have every technology that's available to us. We have ways that we can cross language barriers. I mean, it's a great app to be able to say to someone in a different language everything you wanted to say to them.
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely remarkable. So these opportunities that we have, we can just say, hey, listen, let me translate this for you. But not just that, you mentioned VFN TV app, you know, we encourage you, go to the Google Play, go to the App Store and download VFN TV app, TV, I mean, it's there for you. Mm-hmm. You search it, download it, it's free, and share it with your friend. It's VFN Radio on the go, and you can continually be encouraged, you can continue to share the light, and you can be plugged into truth.
Yeah.
We don't have to submit to this technology. Technology can submit to us, and we can use it for the furtherance and the advancement of God's kingdom. Let's do this together. This is a time in our society and in generations to be living where we have so much technology. Mm-hmm. Let's use it to spread the gospel all around the world. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.